Good evening. Bring greetings from Salt and Light congregation again. My family was glad to be with the Springs Church this morning and with all of you this evening. And I'm going to read, as you see in your bulletin there, from Galatians 4 and Romans 1 and Ephesians 1, but not all at once. We'll read sort of as we go. And this will not be an exposition of all of those passages by any means, but a topical reflection on adoption this evening. So we'll read in a few moments from Galatians 4 first, and that's right next to Ephesians 1. But I came across an illustration, a book a while back that invites you to imagine that you're a child with mean and critical parents and a really difficult childhood, and then to imagine that you discovered one day in a trunk in the attic evidence, proof that you thought it was your parents were not actually your parents, that they abducted you as a baby. They weren't your real parents, and your real parents loved you. And your mother was a famous painter, and your father was a Nobel Prize-winning scientist, and you discover there's fabulous wealth waiting for you. Well, that kind of experience would be life-changing, right? It would totally change your story. You would reinterpret everything about your life, who you were and where you came from, and what your future was, what your abilities and possibilities then were. You'd have a totally new story than what you'd been told and what you'd seen. Well, ours is a totally new story, present and future in Christ. One of the most powerful and comforting images the Bible has for that story is the doctrine of adoption. And so I want to consider that this evening. Just take a few minutes to turn that over in our minds, the fact that of our adoption into God's family. Adoption is something that we do, human families do, and in fact I assume there are probably those here tonight who have been adopted or who have adopted children. And that has its foundation for us as believers in the gospel. But it also, I want us to think in the other direction. Our experience of adoption shows us, even if imperfectly and faintly, something of what our relationship to our Heavenly Father is, our story. So just seven very brief reflections on adoption this evening, comparing to some degree our human adoption, our experience of that, with our spiritual adoption. So to help us think about the first few points, Galatians 4, verses 4 to 6. When the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The first simple point I want you to think about is that adoption is costly. Paul writes about, says, to redeem those who are under the law. Redemption implies a price. In Galatians 3, Paul had said, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by what? By becoming a curse for us. The cost was high. It was an infinite cost that Christ paid for us, a price that we could not pay. And our human adoption is something that might help us reflect on that. It's often costly, high financial costs, and maybe emotional, and certainly time and stress, and a commitment to deny yourself and suffer in certain ways in taking on raising another child, taking them into your family. Just a faint picture of the cost that's paid for us. The second point I want you to think about is that adoption changes one's legal status. It changes your legal status. A child who's adopted is legally, really part of another family then. Whether they're old enough yet to understand that or not, they truly become part of that family. It's not something they earned or can unearn. It's a legal reality. In Galatians 4, here again, verse 6, Paul says, has this phrase, because you are sons. We were legally outside of God's family. We were enemies, had no access to God's family and grace and promises. But God paid the price to make us legally, covenantally, unconditionally his sons and daughters. And his word now addresses us as sons and daughters. So Paul can say, because you are sons, this is how you ought to think. This is how you ought to live. Thirdly, adoption is also much more than legal, though. It's much more than legal. You receive the blessing of love and acceptance in the family. It's not just a formality. There's the tenderness of love and being part of the family. And Paul speaks of that in Romans 8, the spirit of sonship. Or here again in verse 6, Galatians 4, because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his sons into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Paul uses an Aramaic word there, Abba. That's reflected in the fact that it's left just transliterated, as well as the Greek word for father, which is more formal. And the Aramaic word has been said many times, is less formal and more intimate, perhaps. Maybe roughly the equivalent of the relationship between daddy and father, or something like that. And it's interesting to wonder why Paul uses that word here. There's no evidence that a Jew ever addressed God that way in the ancient world as Abba, let alone really as father. Addressing God as father was not something that was common. But in the more informal and intimate way, one interesting and maybe very good suggestion for that is maybe it's how Jesus addressed the Father in Aramaic. And it was impressed on the minds of the apostles. Of course, Paul wouldn't have heard that in person. But maybe it made a lasting and shocking impression on the apostles to hear Jesus address God Almighty as Abba. And then we find it multiple times in the New Testament to communicate how intimate and endearing our relationship now is to God. Not just pater, but Abba. Again, to compare to human adoptions, they're not just paperwork, they're not just legal, they involve the spirit of adoption, the spirit of sonship. An adopted child comes to know these two people really as daddy and mommy, and all the love and acceptance and security of the family. If you turn back to Romans chapter 8 then, you might keep your finger there near Ephesians. Romans chapter 8, looking at verse 13. Paul writes, "For you, if you are living according to the flesh, you must die, but if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you've received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him." The fourth point I want you to reflect on very briefly is simply that adoption involves growth and transformation. Involves growth. Just as an adopted child is taught and trained and their character is developed, they learn to inhabit this new identity as part of this family. So Paul says, all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. We're led and changed by God. That's his great part of his great blessing, is not to leave us as we are, but to make us like the family. Fifthly, adoption creates heirs. It creates heirs. An adopted child gets into the will of their parents. In Galatians 4, again, Paul said, if you are a son, then an heir through God, and he expands on that here. In verse 16, we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. There's so much to think about. And considering that, I'll direct us to more of Paul's words. In 1 Corinthians 3, he says, let no one boast in man, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ's is God's. There's a sense in which everything is ours in Christ. We are inheriting everything, all good things in Christ. That's dramatically changes our story. Then if you turn back forward again to Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Paul writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved." The sixth point I want you to reflect on briefly is that adoption means being chosen. It means being chosen, not reluctantly accepted, not just taken on by necessity, but chosen. There's something special about adoption in our human experience of it, over against, you know, many obvious special things about having natural children, but something special over against that, and that parents had to go out of their way to extra expense, to extra trouble, to choose a child who is not naturally their own, and to love that child as their own. And again, Paul says here, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Verse 5, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself. There's, again, much to meditate on that you were chosen by God himself from all eternity. And then finally, the point simply that adoption gives a future when life was bleak. That's true for many adopted children in different ways and differing degrees. Many faced extremely hard family situations, or parents who had neglected them, perhaps. Some maybe faced death as an alternative to having been adopted. But they've been given love and life and a family and inheritance and future. Incredible gift when we think about it. The same is true for us, again, only infinitely more so. Contrary to what we hear Gene Autry say every Christmas, Santa knows we're all God's children. That makes everything right. Ephesians 2, Paul said that we were by nature children of wrath. Everything was not all right. God didn't choose us because we were a prize or attractive or so cute. He rescued us from death, from being enemies. Our adoption is our rescue. You know, read Ezekiel 16, the bloody abandoned baby in the field. Was who God rescued us from, totally by his grace and undeserved. I hope you find these to be comforting things to think about as we begin another week as sons and daughters of the King tonight. I just want to say finally, I grew up watching Mr. Rogers every morning. I was a big fan of Fred Rogers. Recently, Carly and I watched a documentary about Mr. Rogers' life, more about his public life. Fred Rogers was an extraordinarily kind and compassionate man by all accounts. He identified as a Christian. He was in a liberal mainline church. It seems he had a liberal view of the gospel and so on, sadly. But his final words on his deathbed to his wife were reported as these. It was just a question in his final breaths to his wife. He said, "Am I a sheep? Am I a sheep?" By which he seemed to ask, despite all that he had done for others and extraordinary public kindness and care and so on, "Am I good enough? You know, will I make it?" And biblically, theologically, the answer is no for any of us. Right? A Christian who dies in faith does not die with that fearful question of you know, weights and balances, but with the confidence, "I am a sheep. I am a child of God." Right? Not because I'm good enough, but because Christ obeyed on my behalf. He died in my place. I've been adopted. Compare that with some other famous dying words that you may have heard, those of J. Gresham Machen, who on his deathbed wrote to his good friend John Murray, "He's so thankful for the active obedience of Christ," by which he meant, "So thankful, I though I've not been good enough, right? I don't measure up. I will be welcomed now into heaven as an obedient son because of Christ's obedience for me, because in him I was adopted. I am a son of God. That's the comfort of your adoption. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity to consider your word together briefly tonight, and this theme of adoption and the powerful comfort and promises and new story that it presents to us. Pray that you would give us reflection on this as we go from here. Help us to live out of the fact that we are in Christ, adopted as your sons and daughters. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.